A2 Bahrain?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Pro-democracy protests continued across the Arab world this weekend following Friday's ouster of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. There were violent clashes in Yemen and Algeria. And today, the government of the island nation of Bahrain is preparing for protests. This is likely to be the first big demonstration in a wealthy Arab country. Let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who joins us now from Amman, Jordan. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So how is the government in Bahrain preparing for this day of protests?
It's been trying to buy off the protesters. The king has decreed that every household in the country is going to get a lump sum of $3,000. He's no doubt hoping that this will blunt the protest and keep the monarchy secure and ensure that he doesn't go the way of Mubarak and the Tunisian president.
Do you think that's going to work?
Well, one political analyst I've been talking to says not. Mohammed Al-Masri of the University of Jordan says this protest in Bahrain is more political than economic. The protesters belong to a different Islamic sect from the ruling elite. They complain they've been discriminated against, excluded from high office and from the top jobs. Al-Masri says they want more democracy.
They are not looking for more cash in their pockets. They want to be partners in the decision-making process.
What happens in Bahrain today, Jeremy, is going to be very interesting because to a greater or lesser extent, regimes throughout the Arab world are trying the same tactic, trying to blunt the protest with cash. We'll get a pretty good indication today whether or not it's going to work.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Amman, Jordan. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
In Washington today, it's going to be all about the federal budget. Today, the White House will release its proposal, which will cut the deficit by more than $1 trillion over 10 years. But Republicans are already saying that's not enough cutting. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong tells us about the fight that's brewing over investment in energy innovation.
Today's proposal covers next year, even though politicians are still duking out this year's spending. In both cases, the president's push for energy innovation faces cuts. On renewable energy, for instance, House Republicans want to spend 35% less than the White House. Ideologically, the rub is the government's role in bringing early innovations from lab to market. Patrick Clemens is with the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
A lot of these innovations require, you know, a 3-year time frame. That's getting on the far edge for industry to start investing in ideas that may or may not come to fruition.
Ideas like advanced batteries, where the government has stepped in and helped U.S. companies take on foreign competition. But that is picking winners, says Nick Loris at the Conservative Heritage Foundation.
The private sector is the one that has the incentive to go out and make the profit and develop the technologies that will be commercially successful because they stand to reap all the economic benefits.
He thinks anything that smacks of applied research will face a tough Republican crowd this Congress. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher around the world right now. Frankfurt's up about 0.4%. Tokyo up more than 1% this morning, despite news that Japan is no longer the second largest economy in the world. The Japanese government said today that the country's 2010 gross domestic product was $5.47 trillion. That's about 7% smaller than China's GDP. U.S. GDP, by the way, is still much bigger, $14.6 trillion. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 43 points to close at 12,273.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions since 1896. Allianzusa.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Lawyers have just wrapped up a conference in Atlanta focused on whether to change the way they're paid. Right now, attorneys typically bill by the hour, which could explain why lawyers are frequently at the office well into the evening. The plan on the table would, in some cases, replace the billable hour with pay based on results. Steve Zack is president of the American Bar Association. He joins us now from Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning.
So getting rid of the billable hour, this has come up before, but is it for real this time?
Well, it's not a matter of getting rid of the hourly bill, because in some instances it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense in all instances. And it's kind of become a holy grail of the profession that needs to be evaluated, and that's what we're doing here. In a lot of instances, really what should be billed for is the value received by the client.
So are the clients in favor of this idea?
Very much. The clients and the lawyers recognize that we have to have a partnership when we represent a client, and their interests and the lawyer's interests have to be one and the same, and that is to efficiently deliver legal services and provide value.
So lawyers aren't worried that this is going to mean less money coming into them?
Well, value building doesn't mean less money. It could mean more money. If, in fact, you have a multi-million dollar lawsuit and you are able to resolve that lawsuit with one phone call, let's say, aren't you happy to pay a value-related result as opposed to having to try the case for several years, pay those fees, and then on top of it have to pay the verdict?
But if you spend a lot of time working on a case that ends up not being such a great case and you've wasted a lot of time on it and don't get paid as much, you would get less money in the pocket.
That's part of it. It's got to be fair on both sides. And if not, there are folks that feel very comfortable that the hourly billing is working well for them, and they're going to continue to use it. So we've got to find a way that lawyers are adequately compensated, but more importantly, that the client feels that they are getting what they're paying for.
Steve Zack, president of the American Bar Association, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
And finally, talk about a dangerous job, an amazing rescue in the middle of a frozen lake by firefighters in Germany. They were called to the scene by concerned citizens who reported a swan trapped in the ice in the lake. Authorities responded with a 25-person operation, but when they got out to the middle of the icy lake, they realized it was, in fact, a plastic swan put there to scare away other birds. On the bright side, one firefighter said, "No one was injured, and at least we got a bit of training in." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's actually expensive to work here illegally, which is why a lot of people crossing the border choose to follow the rules.
It's better for us to go legally. If we have papers, we can return and spend time with our families. So we prefer to go and then come back.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the high-cost life of a legal worker. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.